You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Legendary. I know we're just in December in the midst of a long grind of an 82-game NBA season, but I don't think that's an overstatement at all to describe this current run by league MVP and Rockets superstar James Harden. And by the way, it's strongly correlated with success for the Rockets as well, as evidenced by Saturday night's 108-104 victory in New Orleans, the Rockets' fourth straight overall without Chris Paul, and their ninth in the last 10 games. On that joyous note, welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat late this Saturday night, the Rockets, as mentioned, are victorious for the ninth time in their last 10 games. They have now moved to 20-15 on this 2018-2019 season. It's incredible to think, just 3 weeks ago was the low point of the entire campaign, in my opinion. The Rockets had finished off an 0-3 road trip with that deflating loss in Dallas in which Luka went on the 11-0 run in the final 3 minutes. The Rockets blew an 8-point lead late. Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon all had their moments of humiliation. And yet, since then, the Rockets have reeled off 9 of 10, and a team that was mocked for being 14th in the Western Conference is now 5th. Just one game back of the LA Clippers as I record this late Saturday evening for the number 4 seed and home court in the first round, and only 3 games back of the Denver Nuggets for the number 1 seed, which is, of course, is where they were a year ago, winning 65-17, and what seemed unthinkable when they were 11-14 after that loss in Dallas. But amazingly, as we said, even through the struggles, the parity of the Western Conference gave the Rockets a chance. All they needed was a run, and boy, have they responded. Not just 9 of 10 overall, but they're doing it against quality competition. And since losing Chris Paul to a grade 2 hamstring strain 9 days ago, the Rockets have reeled off 4 consecutive wins, all against good opponents. The Spurs, the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Pelicans. I know they have a losing record, but with Anthony Davis and a team with high expectations, that's a tough win on the road. They were just coming off a big win in the prior game over the Dallas Mavs. And for the Rockets to answer the bell on the road in a tough environment, even losing Eric Gordon early due to injury, hopefully not severe. We'll talk about that more as we move our way through our usual 3 points recap, although it certainly does highlight the need for reinforcements. We'll discuss that too. But the main storyline, of course, is James Harden, because it's simply incredible the way he is lifting this basketball team right now. His 41 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. It's his 5th 40-plus point game in the last 9 games. It's his 9th 40-plus point game of this season. We're still in 2018, by the way. It's just December 29th. And it's his 3rd consecutive 40-plus point game, which is the first time he's done it in his legendary career. Even now, I know he's not even 30 years old, but he's a certain Hall of Famer. He's the reigning MVP. He's finished in the top 2 of MVP voting 3 times in the last 4 years. And somehow, he's getting even better. And right now, without Chris Paul, it's not just that there's not a current All-Star alongside him. You look at this entire Rockets rotation, there's not a single other All-Star on the active roster for the Rockets right now. And yet, despite all the attention being paid to him, despite the fatigue of having to carry this team night after night against quality opposition, the fact that he's able to score 41 points on just 25 shots, no, he's not shooting in the mid-30s anymore, got to the line 14 times, made all 14 of those, had 17 three-point attempts, made 7 of those. The fact that he's able to remain relatively efficient, still shooting more than he would if Chris Paul were here, of course, but it's not like there's that much in the way of help, especially with Eric Gordon having to leave early after bumping knees. But in the grand scheme, for James Harden to do what he continues to do, and really, when you look at the Rockets right now, even though they don't have any back-to-backs right now, there are going to be fatigue issues. For example, the formula the last couple of games has been the rebounding. Well, tonight that regressed. They're out-rebounded by New Orleans 45-39. Credit both Anthony Davis and Julius Randle, who had 11 for the Pelicans. But Clint Capela, who averaged 21-plus in his last 3 games, had just 7 tonight. Even though he's younger, this is the biggest workload by far of his career. he's a little tired. And somehow, James Harden has just had to take on an even greater burden, and he's able to do that. Now, even with James, he's not Superman. Even though there are no back-to-backs, there is a bit of fatigue. But the best way that you can counteract that is to play from in front. And for the second consecutive game, he scored 17 points in the first quarter. Yeah, if you extrapolated that, he'd be on a pace for 68 on better than 50% shooting. Now, was there a bit of a fall-off? Sure, the Rockets had a big lead early in this game. They were up by 15 midway through the fourth quarter, and they had to hold on for somewhat of a sloppy finish. But look, these guys are tired. It's not just, when you mention fatigue in the NBA, it's not just about back-to-backs. It's also about workloads. And without Chris Paul, without any other all-star other than James Harden, obviously James has had to do a lot, so has Clint Capella. And then you combine that with the schedule. There's not a breather stretch. There's no Phoenix. There's no Chicago for the foreseeable future. Look, they're going to be tired. Maybe they'll benefit because between Monday night's game on New Year's Eve and early tip for that, and then not having to play again until very late Thursday night at Golden State, maybe that'll help them recharge. But even though there aren't back-to-backs, this stretch is hard. They're having to do a lot. And it's not to say that James doesn't have help. Kudos to Daniel House and P.J. Tucker, who had big shots. P.J. was just 1 of 9 in his 35 minutes. I think that reflects fatigue a little bit in terms of what he's had to do on the defensive end. But he made both free throws in the final minute when it was a 3-point game. Daniel House had 15 points on just 8 shots, including just moments after taking a hard spill, landing on his back or hip, then making a 3, falling out of bounds early in the fourth quarter. This is what you have to do to get by when you're not at your best, because clearly without Chris Paul, the Rockets don't have an overwhelming talent advantage, so the role players need to chip in, and these guys with winning mentalities, we've talked a lot about Austin Rivers over the past week, who seems to embrace the moment, wasn't his best shooting night, but 10 points, 4 of 12 shooting, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, very well-rounded player who seems to thrive under pressure. But to me, the glue that holds all this together is James Harden. And there wasn't the dagger step back in the clutch. As mentioned, the Rockets kind of had to limp to the finish. James did make a couple of big free throws with about a minute and a half left in a 3-point game. And then in the final minute, P.J. Tucker had to hit 2. It wasn't like he had that one quintessential dagger moment. But really, for the Rockets in this game, and this is the way it works over 82, sometimes there are going to be games that, for a myriad of reasons, are just tough to get. They're not going to be sexy. They're not going to be pretty. In this case, the Rockets gave everything they could early in the game to play from in front. And then especially after losing Eric Gordon, who's arguably their most efficient player, 21 points, 9 of 14 shooting, by far his most efficient night of the season personally, then the Rockets were in a tough spot to close out this game. James didn't quite have it to the way we've seen him, especially the Spurs and the Thunder games when he had to take over down the stretch. But in this one, he was good enough early that, yeah, those points in the first quarter, they count just as much as those in the fourth. And for a Rockets team that, given the big workloads over this past week and the schedule, was probably going to run out of gas a little bit. And then when the game got physical and both Gordon and Daniel House took brutal falls or bumps, then yeah, it got a little ugly. It wasn't pretty, but the Rockets had enough to hold on. And with Harden, again, every point counts the same. And so to see him come out from the shoot and take the game seriously, to go out and execute at that level, that's what gave the Rockets the margin to withstand these bumps, the randomness, the shots not going in down the stretch. It's also worth noting that even when the shots weren't falling in, Harden had 3 steals and 2 blocks. I thought this was one of his better defensive games of the year as well, especially in the second half. So to me, he's setting the right tone. It wasn't pretty. But again, at some point, without Chris Paul, and this is why ultimately, yeah, you need Chris Paul back, you need James Ennis back, the run the Rockets had been on, it's not sustainable, especially with Harden and Capella taking that much of a workload, because eventually it's going to catch up with them, especially when the schedule is tough like it is now. And make no mistake about it, the Pelicans, even though they're below 500 at 16-21, it's a very talented team. They're just a product of how loaded the Western Conference is right now. And by the way, the Rockets being 20-15, it's a testament that they're at that record despite the injuries and the struggles they've had to start this season. But really, as it's been for his entire now 7 seasons in Houston, it's James Harden that's the glue that puts this together. Whatever they need, in this case, they needed to play from in front because fatigue was probably going to be an issue, and it became even more so when they had some injuries. Okay, he delivered another 17-point first quarter. When the shots weren't falling and they needed defensive plays, well, he stepped up and made those. And by the way, he had a pretty good contest of Anthony Davis with a minute left. It was just a poor foul call that sent AD to the line. But really, even though Harden didn't have that quintessential dagger moment, it's about what happens over the full 48 minutes. That's what determines winners in the NBA. And for a guy to score 40 plus points in 5 of 9 games, 3 straight overall, 9 times this season, all while going through the injuries to Chris Paul, now Eric Gordon, not having a single all-star alongside him. Oh, and these aren't empty numbers at all. It's not like he's just going up there and shooting for personal glorification. No, in this 9-game stretch, which he scored 40-plus 5 times, the Rockets have won 8 of those 9 games, and the one loss was by a whopping 2 points on night 2 of a back-to-back when Harden didn't even have his eye fully functional by the end of that game because of an elbow he took in the fourth quarter. This is as good of an individual run as I have ever seen following Houston Rockets basketball. And I say that as someone that has followed this team going back to the late 80s. And that's no disrespect to Hakeem at all. I get from a legacy standpoint for Harden to be even in that conversation alongside Olajuwon, he's got to deliver a ring. That's just the way it is. But at least in terms of the regular season, in terms of individual brilliance, I said this after Thursday's game, and I'll say it again tonight, I have never seen someone deliver night after night to this extent. No excuses. It doesn't matter what the injuries are alongside him. It doesn't matter whether he's getting the calls or not, because there were stretches in this game, even though he went to the line 14 times, that got very chippy. He wasn't getting the whistles. He played through. He made plays defensively when they needed to. He set up his teammates. It is incredible what James Harden is doing on a nightly basis. It is as good as I've ever seen. And yes, the MVP from a year ago, he should be the MVP frontrunner right now in the NBA. I don't know if he is because of narratives, but keeping it real with you guys, yeah, he is by far the best basketball player on the planet right now. And to be honest, he's the best basketball player that I have ever seen in Houston based on his production at the moment. Now, I'm not saying he should be considered the best player in Rockets history. No, of course not, because this game is defined by rings, and even though the bar with Golden State is higher than it's ever been in NBA history, Harden is not going to be in that discussion with Hakeem until he delivers at least one and probably multiple rings. That's just the way it is. I get it. I'm not challenging that. All I'm saying is that as we chat in December, yes, it's a long season. There are peaks and valleys. Sure, the Rockets started 1-5. They were 11-14 just 3 weeks ago. But what we are seeing right now from James Harden, stop to smell the roses. Appreciate it. This is legendary. This is incredible. 40-plus points, 5 times in 9 games, 3 straight overall, 9 times in the season. The Rockets winning 8 of 10 overall, and now 4 in a row without Chris Paul. You are so lucky if you're a Houstonian or just a Rockets fan to have James Harden leading your basketball team. This is incredible. He deserves all the respect in the world. And sure, there's more he needs to do in the playoffs to cap off his legacy, so to speak. But at this point, that's a long way away. If you're going to follow a team over the balance of 82 games, you need to appreciate the high points. And this, as far as regular season moments go individually, is as high as I have ever seen. So salute to James Harden. Even though the Rockets, they got out-rebounded, they lost Eric Gordon early, they didn't have Chris Paul, they seem to be fatigued after having so many big games and having so many key contributions throughout the last week. Mentioned the Eric Gordon injury, also had Daniel House take a hard fall. Despite all of that, they still got the win at New Orleans against a Pelicans team desperate for a win, because that's what James Harden does. That's the MVP, that's the best player in basketball at the moment, and yeah, he had another 40-plus point game and another Rockets victory. They're 9th in the last 10, and now they are 20-15 overall, just a game back of the 4 seed and home court advantage in the first round, and just 3 games back of the number 1 seed, which is where they were a year ago and what 3 weeks ago we thought was all off the table. So salute to the Rockets, but especially salute to James Harden, the MVP, who has led them through this stretch, and somehow, despite everything that's happened with the calendar, not even to 2019 yet, the Rockets are exactly where they need to be with everything still on the table. Salute to James Harden. Salute to the Rockets. What a night. It wasn't all positive. More on the others in just a few moments as we continue our 3 points recap. But for segment one, shout out to James. So much respect for what he is doing. Stop and smell the roses. Enjoy it, because there are not many players like him and there are not many stretches like this if you regularly follow the sport of NBA basketball. Now, as we continue our way through the 3 points recap, our first segment was largely about James Harden, because look, when you score 41-plus points, or 40-plus points, 41 tonight, for the 5th time in 9 games, 3rd consecutive game, 9th time this season, even with a roster that has no other All-Stars on it, that lost Chris Paul a week ago, and despite playing tough competition, has won 4 straight games, it's all about James. So even though there were some other key developments tonight, not all good. You have to lead with the MVP when he is in a stretch like this. There's just no other way to frame this. That said, there were some other key things that we do need to discuss tonight. And both good and bad, I think the next leading item is Eric Gordon. The good is that he had 21 points, 3 assists, but what really stands out, 9 of 14 shooting, that's over 60%, that's by far his most efficient night of the year from a shooting perspective. 2 of 5 from behind the arc, that's 40%. This is a guy who went into tonight shooting 37% overall and 30% from 3. He was plus 12, which other than Nene, who was plus 15 in his 15 minutes, it's amazing what Nene gives them. It seems like he's at the top of the plus-minus list every night, even in limited minutes. At 36 years old, yeah, he's been a big surprise off the bench. But of guys who played, I would say, 20-plus minutes, yeah, Eric was your best plus-minus guy tonight. That's the upside. The downside is that he left early, played just 27 minutes because he bumped knees early in the fourth quarter, did not return. The Rockets said they'd see how he responded to treatment before Monday's game. The good news is that because it's a matter of bumping knees, that's usually not a matter of anything structural. It's not like a non-contact injury in which the knee gives way and there's some sort of ligament issue you're concerned with. With bumped knees, it's just about generally pain tolerance. Obviously, depending on the nature of the bruise, there can be some swelling. And if he's not able to run well, then he might have to sit a game. We'll have to wait and see. I could see them erring on the side of sitting him, especially because the next game is the Warriors and they have a couple of days off before that, so you could give him a little bit of built-in time to recover. We'll have to wait and see how much that knee swells up when he gets back to Houston. But there shouldn't be any long-term effects there. My guess is that if it's bumped knees, the Rockets largely dodged a bullet with that one. And if that's the case, and we won't know for sure until they get back and they see how he responds after sleeping on it at night, but it's a really welcome sign to see Eric Gordon contributing the way that he did while he was on the floor. Now, he was booed in New Orleans. I joked on Twitter at Ben Dubose that maybe he should be booed every game if he responds that well. I'm kidding, of course. No, you shouldn't boo Eric Gordon. He was only booed in New Orleans because, of course, he was a former Pelican who left the Pelicans in July 2016 to sign with the Rockets. Fell short of expectations in New Orleans when he was the centerpiece of the Chris Paul trade, although it wasn't largely EG's fault. It was just a matter of injuries and he wasn't able to stay on the court, which is rather petty of New Orleans fans, but that's a completely different subject. As far as what we saw from Eric tonight, what was really eye-opening, you know, he made 2 of his 5 threes, which is nice, but he made 7 of 9 off the bounce. That's that smash Gordon we've been talking about. The fact that he's that spry, even against a team that's pretty athletic inside, Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, to be able to finish in traffic, that tells you that he's feeling pretty good, his timing is down, hopefully bruising his knee doesn't, his kneecap, that is, doesn't take away from that. We'll have to wait and see, again, what the injury report is heading into Monday's game against Memphis on New Year's Eve, but with Eric playing this well, what it shows you, and it's what I said in Friday's off day show, there's another gear the Rockets can get to even if they fall back a little bit from Clint Capella and James Harden doing what they've been doing over the past week when they've just been giving Herculean performances. James largely still is. Clint Capella finally had a regression from 21 plus rebounds per game to just 7 in 33 minutes on Saturday night. And that's been the basis for the turnaround the last 3 games. But it's not realistic to expect that to happen forever, especially in the case of Clint Capella, who before this year hadn't even averaged 30 minutes per game in a season before. Now you're asking him to go upper 30s and average 20-plus rebounds per night. Of course that's not sustainable. And, you know, you look at it, the Rockets have beaten some good teams, so you can say, hey, even if they fall off a little bit, the schedule eventually should lighten. But in the Western Conference, there's not very many easy nights. The bigger way that I think you should be framing this is that even though it's taken a Herculean effort, so much focus on both ends of the court for the Rockets to get these games of late, it's not like they are truly giving everything they have. Well, let me rephrase that. They're giving everything they have from an effort perspective, but they're not giving everything they have from a talent perspective because Chris Paul is not out there, and Eric Gordon before tonight was shooting 37% from the field and 30% from three. So that's the good news. Is it realistic to expect what you've gotten from Clint Capella over the past week and even James Harden to continue? Probably not. There's going to be some regression to the mean, even with James Harden, who is the MVP and right now conceivably Superman. But even if those fall back to the pack, if you get more depth, more on that in segment 3, because James Ennis seems like a good bet to return on Monday, I'd say, especially if Eric Gordon isn't able to go, because they'll definitely need bodies. But if you just have CP3 and Eric Gordon getting back to where they should be, or in the case of CP3, just getting back on the court at all, which hopefully he'll be able to do in early to mid-January coming off his grade 2 hamstring strain, then that can give you buffer even if these Herculean nights from Capella and Harden over the past week don't happen to the extent or the, I would say, consistency that they've been over the past, especially the 4-game winning streak, without Chris Paul. So to me, other than Harden's brilliance, that's what this game reminded me of. Outside of the Harden factors, no, you didn't have the rebounding the way it's been for the past week or so. New Orleans was +6. Anthony Davis and Julius Randle at times were bullies inside, which is to be expected, especially if you're starting a 6'6" power forward at 33 years old and PJ Tucker. That's just the way it's going to be from time to time, especially when you've been near the bottom of the league in defensive rebounding rate all season long. But even if that ridiculous turnaround of the past 3 games doesn't continue, even if that goes back to closer to what you've been the entire season long, it's not like the Rockets are dependent on that as their only formula. They've got 2 guys in Eric Gordon and Chris Paul, and tonight they only had one of them, the lesser guy in Eric Gordon, who bounced back to form. Now imagine if you get Chris Paul back feeling good in a week or two from now. That's why the Rockets, even if this current formula isn't that sustainable, then if you get Eric Gordon and Chris Paul back, and then you get even a fraction of what you've had the last 3 games from Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, and the other big guys on the glass. Mentioned Nene as well. He's been big, and of course, Austin Rivers gives him some more size on the perimeter, a little bit more athleticism, which helps him get some of the longer rebounds. They're not going to become a radically different team overnight, but if you keep even a fraction of the growth we've seen in the last 3 games, it's not like the Rockets were just pummeled on the glass tonight. Again, they were only down 6. We've certainly seen many worse games this year, including the -20 a week ago in Miami, 9 days ago, that is. Even if the last 3 games aren't sustainable from a defense and especially a rebounding standpoint, the Rockets still have another gear they can get to on offense and with playmaking, especially with Eric Gordon and Chris Paul. So to see Eric Gordon, even in 27 minutes and leaving early, give you 21 points on 9 of 14 shooting, yeah, it's a reminder of what he can do, and then that's without even Chris Paul out there. So even if it's a bit of a regression on the boards that was probably inevitable, then to me, it's counteracted and then some by the reminder you get that, hey, offensively, even though this is the number one team in the league right now in offensive rating, this is without even having Chris Paul and Eric Gordon playing that well. In the case of Chris Paul, playing at all. So, of course, it reflects on James Harden. But yeah, even if James Harden falls off a little bit, then yes, the Rockets do have more aces in the hole that they should be able to turn to. And even if there's a regression to the mean in terms of the class, especially over the past week, there should be an ascension or progression to the mean from Eric Gordon and Chris Paul coming, hopefully tonight, assuming health was the start of that for Eric Gordon. Stay tuned. Final thoughts as we close out our 3 points recap. We spent much of the first 2 segments discussing strong nights for James Harden and Eric Gordon, a combined 62 points between them on 19 of 39 shooting, nearly 50%. 9 of 22 from 3, which is excellent. It was a big night for the Rockets starting backcourt. Clint Capella wasn't as dynamic on the glass, but Nene in his 15 minutes was a +15. He certainly chipped in off the bench against a Pelicans team that without Nikola Mirotic didn't have the depth, especially after Anthony Davis and Julius Randle up front. And then PJ Tucker and Daniel House. House had 15 points on 8 shots. That's very efficient. He had a great stretch in this game. And then PJ, even though he was just 1 of 9, he had a couple of big, big free throws in the final minute. So generally the Rockets leaned in the backcourt, and they got the shots and free throws when they really needed it from the rest of the team. Otherwise, it wasn't really a really noteworthy night across the board. They shot okay, 43%, 35% from 3, got to the line 28 times, made 22 of those. A lot of things you would say are okay. Assists 21, turnovers 12. Nothing too bad, nothing too good. It was just another night at the office, but because of the brilliance of James Harden, they found enough points to get by. Hopefully, they get more reinforcements in the weeks ahead so that you don't have to lean so much on James Harden. And to me, that's where it's a reminder that James Ennis, who appears set to come back Monday after missing nearly 3 weeks with a hamstring strain, and then, of course, Chris Paul, a Hall of Famer, who's set to come back in probably another couple of weeks in early to mid-January, yeah, you need those guys. And I think it goes without saying with Chris Paul. But this is where it goes back to Friday's show. I've seen some on Twitter wondering, do the Rockets really need James Ennis? And my answer to that is, yes, they do. And it's not even so much about what James Ennis can do individually. Because there are nights when, for example, Daniel House, 32 minutes tonight, 15 points on 8 shots. His defense was good, made 3 of 5 threes. If he continues to play like that, to me, Daniel House is a favorite to stay in the starting lineup, even when Chris Paul comes back, and that means House over Gordon. That's how good Daniel House is as a two-way player right now. So yes, if he's getting that much praise, then yeah, his athleticism being a few years younger, he's probably a little bit better than James Ennis as well. So no, I'm not saying James Ennis is going to come back and be better than Daniel House. Maybe not even Gerald Green. What I am saying is that having his energy, even if it's just in a 12 to 15 minute per game role, as opposed to 25 plus like early in the season, is so essential to keeping minutes down across the board. For example, Eric Gordon, even if he's able to play, you might not have him go 40 minutes coming off the bruised knee that he suffered bumping knees to one of the Pelicans. So if he's unable to go 40 minutes, yeah, dial him down. James Harden, finally, they didn't get him to 40. They got him capped at 37, but that was only because the Rockets played with a lead. If they didn't have a lead, I'm sure they would have been tempted, especially with Gordon having to leave early, to push Harden closer to 40 again. And then Gerald Green, Thursday, he made at least 3 three-pointers. Tonight he just made one shot, and we know his defense can be a bit inconsistent. So with James Ennis, it's not so much that you say, wow, he can really upgrade this one spot in a rotation. No, what he can do is keep minutes down and in check all the way across the board. PJ Tucker at 35 minutes. Look, he's 33 years old, and he's only 6'6". If you're asking him to play mid to upper 30s against guys like Anthony Davis and Julius Randle, yeah, he might break down a little bit. If you have James Ennis, maybe you keep him at 30 to 32. So it's little things like that. There's not one player that, wow, you're going to bring James Ennis back and he's going to upgrade that spot. No, it's about making everyone more efficient so that hopefully you don't have, for example, a 1 of 9 night from PJ Tucker, 1 of 7 from 3, despite having a ton wide open. PJ also missed a layup in the fourth quarter on a great feed from Harden that should have put the game away. Even Austin Rivers, I know he's relatively young, but you're asking a guy who was not even playing much in Washington, now he's playing 37 minutes because that's how thin your guard depth is, especially after losing Eric Gordon. You can keep these minutes a lot more in check with James Ennis. So yes, that's why you need a ninth guy. There's a reason most NBA teams don't play 8-man rotations over 82 games. Beyond that, and the last point I'll make, I said on Friday's show that there's no perfect role players. And that's especially true with guys like Gerald Green, Daniel House, who haven't even started the last two seasons with NBA teams. That's not to take anything away from them. Of course, they work hard and they've earned everything they've gotten, but they are far from perfect players. Now, you can have stretches where they are very hot, but you're also going to have nights where they remind you that, hey, they're not overwhelming from a talent perspective, and especially if they go through a bit of a shooting funk, where you might not want to rely on them for 20, or in the case of House, who played over 30 minutes on Saturday night, for that level of playing time. That's where James Ennis gives you insurance, and that's what's so silly. Early in the year, there was so much fixation on Ariza and Bamute. Look, there were games last year that Luke Bamute played only 15 minutes because it was clear that he wasn't a good matchup. Maybe he was cold from three, whatever it was. He barely even played in the Western Conference Finals, and Gerald Green played a lot. The key with role players is not that you've got to find someone perfect and then, wow, this guy who isn't a star, but he's perfect to play 25 or 30 minutes a night. No, that's not how it works. What great teams do, they have enough role players that you can mix and match based on matchups, who's hot, who's not, and that's what James Ennis allows you to do. There are going to be some nights where Ennis is hot, or maybe it's a favorable matchup to him, he's a very physical defender, he's logging out in transition, whereas House, he's a little springier. With Gerald Green, he's probably the guy who can catch fire from three the most of those three guys, so you can mix and match, you can play who's hot, but when it comes to role players, it's not that you're going to find one guy who's perfect. The best way over 82 games that you can get the best if you're a team trying to maximize your rotation slots is to be able to be flexible. And that's what James Ennis does. It's not the one guy that he's going to replace. No, it's that if you have Ennis and you have House and you have Green, and then imagine when you get Chris Paul back, and then you'll have conceivably a 10-man rotation, although my guess is the Rockets would be 9-man most nights. It would just depend on who's hot, who they see as the best matchup, that sort of thing. But that's the key, and that's what the Rockets had a year ago. You know, they had guys, there were stretches last year where Gerald Green and Joe Johnson, they'd lean on them for 25, 30 minutes in a given game, and then the next week, they might not even be playing at all. That's what great teams have, and that's what I think the Rockets hope to have once James Ennis comes back. It's not that, wow, you're going to put him back into the role that he was and say he's this 25, 30 minutes per game player. No, but they're not better off without him. No, you're better off having more options, mix and match, and also give yourself insurance, especially if Eric Gordon needs a day off to rest that knee and give him almost a week off before next Thursday's big game at Golden State. then yeah, you can really use James Ennis to sop up some of those minutes, because at that point, your only guards would be James Harden and Austin Rivers, so you would need to slide Daniel House down a bit, Gerald Green as well, and then there's a lot of forward minutes for James Ennis to fill out. So yes, from a depth perspective, some of these issues, I would say, especially with James Harden starting to run out of gas a little bit, yeah, that's why you need a nine-man rotation, that's why James Ennis will help, and of course, it goes without saying, that's where Chris Paul will help, the Hall of Famer, when he gets back, hopefully in early to mid-January. So that's where I'll wrap up this podcast. Yes, it's great for the Rockets, they won 4 in a row, 9 of 10, but it's not perfect. I see the flaws, especially with the workloads of guys like James Harden, Clint Capella. And the good news is that, yes, the Rockets do have reinforcements on the way. James Ennis, quality veteran role player, 28-year-old swingman. He'll help, hopefully, starting Monday against the Grizzlies. And then not too long after that, you'll have a 10th rotation player you can trust, that Hall of Famer, Chris Paul. So even though it's good now, you should have an even better roster in the days ahead, Rockets fans. So stay tuned for that. Until then, though, or at least until Monday's game against the Grizzlies on New Year's Eve, this is where I will leave off. As always, thank y'all so much for tuning in. If you want any more content before our next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. Of course, you can follow me on there, at Ben Dubose. The show also has a handle at Locked On Rockets. We also have a Locked On NBA Net handle on both Twitter and Instagram for what is basically a curated feed, experts across the Locked On podcast network covering every NBA team, including New Orleans on Saturday night and Memphis on Monday night. So if you want to get the expert from other cities, basically my contemporaries, whatever version of me they have covering the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Warriors next Thursday, then yeah, check out Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can get a hold of those experts as well without having to follow them individually. Just following that one feed will curate all of their NBA takes for you. Also, if you have not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. We're also hooked up with various voice assistant programs, so beyond just subscribing to us, you could even just say to your voice assistant, if you're driving in the car, working out, play podcast Locked On Rockets, and you can find us. That's how you can get our episodes even before I'm able to post them on Twitter, or if you're unable to access Twitter. And also, beyond just listening to our episodes, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review, that's how we look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model rolling here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, that previously mentioned Locked On Podcast Network, we don't cover just the NBA, but also the NFL, some Major League Baseball, and college sports. That includes the NFL's Houston Texans here in Houston. They've got a big game Sunday against the Jaguars, in which they go to clinch the AFC South, and hopefully, if they win, of course, they get the division, but maybe they'll get some help elsewhere and get a bye through the first round of the playoffs. Whatever happens, though, for better or for worse, my friends Robert Land and Brian Patterson will have you covered over at Locked On Texans. They're my NFL contemporaries, and they do daily shows just like I do here at Locked On Rockets. So with the plugs finished, this is where we'll leave off on this Saturday night. One more time, the happy final from New Orleans. Rockets 108, Pelicans 104. Rockets, they've won their fourth straight overall. Ninth in 10 games, they improved to 20-15 in the year. Now in the 5 seed in the Western Conference, just one back of the 4 seed and home court advantage in the first round. And just 3 back of the Nuggets for the 1 seed and home court advantage, exactly where they were a year ago. So savor it, Rockets fans. It was a big win, even though Eric Gordon left early. Harden with yet another 40-plus point game. He's ridiculous. He's the MVP for a reason. And now the Rockets get a day off before resuming play on Monday night against the Grizzlies, their annual New Year's Eve game at Toyota Center in downtown Houston. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and come back Monday and check out more content right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.